This episode of AetherStream is brought to you by Aetherflow Media. We would not be able to create content like this without the support of our amazing patrons.
Welcome back to AetherStream. I'm about to say Aetherflow Media. God, I only took 1 week off and I'm already botching it, guys. I guess I have to retire now. Welcome back, guys. Today we have Scrolly from our Aetherflow Media team, and joining with us again in a long while is Dylan Thorne.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
It's been a while. I, like, forgot the sound of Dylan Thorne's voice.
I know, and your life was worse for it, I'm sure.
No. To be honest, Oof. We kind of needed that.
That was
balance.
The wrong answer.
Wait,
what? Wrong answer.
What? Oof.
What am I witnessing right now?
Oh, man. You're witnessing Tilp being put to the corner again.
Yes, Tilp is going to go into the corner.
I have done content.
Nice.
Okay, so you're not, like, in the corner. You're against the wall, but between the corners.
Yes. Right now, I'm just sitting there debating if I made moral choices poorly or if I just need to learn to shut my mouth.
Yes.
The answer to both questions is yes. Poor life choices and need to learn when not to say things. I'm going to the corner now.
Alrighty. Oh, all right, so that's the episode. It was nice to talk to you all again.
I'm so glad you guys included me on this.
Yes. So today we're actually going to be doing another kind of experimental thing. It's going to be a short episode because, one, I don't really think the content is really going to be that long to talk about, but at the same time, it needs to be talked about. And this content we're talking about is grand companies and PvP. Not so much on the PvP because that can be a whole big episode, but, like, just kind of the small dip your toe in and test the waters out, get slaughtered by everybody because you have no idea how to run your character with the new, like, restrictions you have. But... So, I'm going to ask this first off. Who here was a part of the 1.0 experience?
I was.
I also was, very briefly, though.
Okay, the next question I have to ask, because I'm such a nerd. Did you guys get the collector's edition?
Yes, I did. I actually have it up on a shelf right now, and I'm looking at it. And I remember, what was it? Something in the MSQ recently had me running to look at that, like, really pretty artwork that Amano did, like, on the outside of the box. So, but then somebody told me it was Garuda, and I was very disappointed.
Okay.
I unfortunately did not get a chance to get that collector's edition.
I'm sorry. All right. The only reason why I ask is because... there is, and I was really excited for this. This is the only reason why I got it. But there was a mail-in thing that you could fill out, or I think it sent you to a website. It's been so long. But you can get a rite of passage from whatever starting city you decided to choose. And I have in front of me my Gridania one.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Do you remember that? I actually never sent it in. I really wish I would have. I know, but, you know, yeah.
You know.
I have no excuses. I just didn't. I should have, though. But I have the onion helm, so that's important.
Yeah, I wish my account didn't get hacked, because then I would totally have my onion helm and my Goobu mount and my legacy tattoo. Oh, wow. I so miss it.
Honestly, the same thing happened to me, and that's why I don't have the tattoo either.
Okay, so I'm not alone.
Yeah,
Square,
you're not alone.
You need to fix this. Because, like, I can still log into my account, and I can still play. Like, the character that I can log into has the tattoo, has the mount. Not the Goobu mount, but the legacy tattoo and all that. But I can't put the expansions to that account. And they're not giving me a legit reason why. Because they'll let me pay for the months, and they'll let me purchase stuff from the Mog Station. They just won't let me upgrade my expansion packs. Yeah, it is like, well, here I am trying to spend money and you guys won't let me do it. This is why I need to speak to Koji. I know he can't do anything.
I was like, the lead localization team member?
Yes. I just want to speak to him.
I mean, valid concern.
So with that being said, my grand company I chose with was obviously Gridania. I'm part of the Twin Adders. Yeah, I'm Double Snake.
I'm sorry.
I know, we don't win at anything.
Oof.
But it's okay, because the Valentinos event, which is also on my birthday, is in Gridania, so I'm happy.
Yeah, but, you know, you could have Valentine's Day and you could wear red one time a year, or you could go for Maelstrom and have Meryl Webb, who is awesome. No argument there. And okay, wear red all year long and be awesome. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not going to deny it. You guys actually do have some pretty cool coats. I'm not going to deny it. You have really cool coats when you get to the higher ranks. I almost switched just for the coat. How about you, Scrolly?
I actually started with Twin Adder, but I learned my lesson after a while, and I went to Maelstrom.
Damn it.
Yeah, there you go. Welcome to the fun side.
We do really have everything that's cool, in my opinion, at least.
Kroa, how about you?
So I kind of have like a minor history to it. So I started off as Immortal Flames because I had no context as to anything regarding the Grand Companies when I joined. Mm-hmm. And I felt like as a player, I owed a little bit of, since the Immortal Flames kind of helped me out with Ifrit, I was like, you know what? I feel like it's better I join you guys than anyone else because I fought with you already, you know? I already took that like that chance to be with you as brothers. And then way, way later on, I changed my character and changed my story. And because of that, the new character I designed felt a lot more comfortable to be a member of the Maelstrom in my mind. And that's why I ended up switching Grand Companies. So
Maelstrom wins. Yeah. Yes.
Man, Telb, it's a 3-1 right now.
It's okay. I'm still a dragoon. I can take you guys down if I don't take myself out first.
Exactly. Like, don't worry, guys. He's just gonna jump off the platform. He'll be fine.
Well, like, so one of the running jokes for my character is that either I spoop easy, or in 11 terms, is I use super jump, and it's so natural that I've ended up jumping into an airship and being whisked away by the airship that I said flew into. So, yeah. I'll either probably take myself out or you guys will just gang up on me and beat me up. Damn, why am I in the corner? This is not fair!
Because you're not in the Maelstrom, that's why.
Oh, man.
Poor decisions, honestly.
Oh, jeez.
That happens when you make poor life choices.
Well, bright side, I still have my rites of passage for Gridania.
That's still really cool, though.
I'll actually post that on Twitter here towards the end of the podcast, so that way Kroa can see it. And I'll actually send it to you, too, Kroa. That way you can analyze it. Not like it'll have much of a benefit to lore or anything. But still kind of cool. Especially with the seal. Yeah.
Nice.
But I guess, I mean, other than my reasoning and some other reasons, like, did you guys have any influence onto why you chose the Grand Companies that you did? I mean, other than like pirate cool coats.
Well, you pretty much just listed the reason why I chose them. But yeah, no, mainly pirates. So.
And yeah, my character is written as a pirate, so it really kind of just fit.
Oh my goodness. Like, honestly, I've had so many characters that I've had a character in every one of the Grand Companies.
yeah. That too.
Yeah, so it's kind of like I really got to know all of them. And as far as though why it's my favorite is because I think Merlwood, she seems to be the strongest leader. Connie Senna is kind of meh.
She, let's face it, she is a tree hugger.
She's a tree hugger. She's just kind of meh. I don't really understand exactly how she leads, but, you know, that's besides the point. And also, this was in the 1.0 days, and I just remember, actually, I started out in Gridania, and as I progressed through the initial story, and there's the whole, like, Woodson slash Greenwrath thing, and how absolutely unforgiving the Gridanians were at that point, I was kind of like, screw you all. I'm leaving you and your crazy ass trees. You can have them. And then, you know, I went to Ulda, and then, you know, you're kind of like wandering around, and then you start talking to some of the NPCs, and you're like, wow, these people are kind of really, really rude. And then you get to Pearl Lane, and you're like, holy crap, this is a not so nice place. And then you go to Limsa, and you're like, okay, yeah, there's pirates, but at least they're honest about who they are.
Well, like,
oh, why is that?
Oh, and sorry, and also the Drowning Wench was better. So there you go.
One of the reasons why I almost chose Maelstrom was because back in the 1.0 days, there was talk that they were going to bring the Musketeer in there. And I was like, oh, I'm so excited. And then, you know, we got it in Ishgard. So dodge that bullet.
I mean, if we're getting technicals about Musketeers, they're still there.
Yeah, but it's not a playable class yet.
That doesn't mean they don't exist. They do exist, just no one plays them.
True. No one
can play them.
I mean, we can watch them in battle. I mean, they still act like corsairs. They're not. Wow. Sorry. Machinists. Do they just don't throw turrets?
They're not really corsairs. I mean, come on.
I know. I regret life choices.
Here's the thing.
Time for a lore lesson.
I'm trying not to sabotage the message of the today's episode, hence my hesitation, but just to point it out, because the thing is that the Musketeers Guild is strictly military, because in Limsa Limensa you have to have a license to handle a firearm. You can't just get that on your own. You actually have to have some sort of like government approval, and you get that from Melvon's Gate. The Arcanist Guild they have every single gun and firearm in that city documented in their records, and they can trace it magically. If any guns get stolen or anything like that, they can trace. There's like a magical tracking techniques that they're able to find where those guns have gone. So there's no way you can pass under the nose of anybody in Limsa Limensa with a gun that you don't have registered to the state. Now the thing is, the Machinists is slightly different because they use this principles of a Musketeer, but they combine it with a Therotransformer. And it allows them to shoot lightning aspect of ether from their own bodies into several implementations. And that's why we have the robots. That's why we have the turrets. That's why we have Ricochet and all those things. Because it's a completely different concept from the Musketeer. They're not just using the gun. They're using a full range of technological implements powered by their own ether.
There. Okay.
Done. I'm sorry. All right. Back to our ongoing topic.
That was actually quite interesting, and you should interrupt us more often.
I
know. Yeah, just keep dropping bombs on us.
I feel bad.
I don't feel bad.
And that's the thing. Like, the Musketeers still exist. I don't think they allow adventurers to really pursue that point, because then it would trouble the whole procedure of having those firearms documented. They won't be able to like track and, you know, a person who's traveling throughout the entire nation where that gun's going. It would really cause some disarray. Plus, if they started getting like murders and stuff that were like firearms based, they would be in trouble. It would be the Milvon's Gate. It would be Arcanist Guild. All of them in charge of the record keeping would get in trouble for that. So they probably just would be like, you know what? It's better you guys don't get guns. And it's locked to just you know, axe magic and dancing.
Things honestly much worse than guns, in my opinion, but you know.
True. Yeah, I mean, you see, all terms considered.
Like, you know, summoning a giant serpent.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, that's another reason why Limsa is awesome, because Leviathan, come on.
That music is
slapped. It is really good. Slap that bass.
It's good music.
It is
both versions.
Good.
Both versions. The new version and the old one.
Oh, God, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Some of the new music that came out in the this last patch, I'm excited for, but I can't talk about it because it's not that topic.
We shall talk about it upon a later subject.
I know. Later. So, I mean, I've already stated my reason for joining the Grandpa Company. I did because, you know, I just like trees. I hug them. Mm. Plus, hands down, I did think Kanisana was cute. That was before I knew she wasn't actually a human. All right, so this is kind of one of the PvP type topics, and I don't normally go freelancer until they kind of enforced it in the last patch, I think it was. But did you guys normally just, if you did do PvP, did you guys just normally go with the Maelstrom? Or did you go freelance and then just join whatever team and then just hated it afterwards when you got slapped over in the adders?
Freelancer, I mean, yeah.
See, yeah. The freelancer thing is, now it's rough because I freelance for the queues. Like, honestly, like, if I'm going to be completely honest with you, as much as I want to stay loyal to the Maelstrom, I have, you can't get 100 wins from queuing into your grand company. You have to be, you get 100 wins from being a freelancer. So.
Yep. I still have yet to get all my wins. I did get the Garo wins, but then, like a Nublet, I didn't talk to the guy, so I didn't get my mount.
Oh, man.
I know.
Oh, no.
So I don't know if I can run over and be like, hey, can I still have this? Or if I'm just going to be SOL.
As far as I know, I think that you probably don't have a chance for those.
Yeah.
At this moment, at least, you know, who knows? They might show up on the Mog Station or something at some point. Who knows?
Maybe.
Maybe it's an idea.
I kind of hope they don't, because if they do, there's going to be a lot of people who's going to be really angry.
Oh, yeah, just like sure. The people that got angry with the white ribbon ring and the Mandeville ring. The Revan something in the Mandeville ring. Sorry, puppy's playing with balls now. She found her squeakers. So yeah, if you hear a random noise of something dying, it's probably the ball that she's going to try to lay on.
Oh my.
Yes.
Okay.
So, I mean, do you guys enjoy PvP?
I don't, mostly just because I'm terrible at it. I know I'm terrible at it. I'm one of these people who, like, somebody starts running at me, and I'm like, oh my god, why are they hitting me? So, I when I do PvP, I do it as a healer, because, I mean, you don't have to be good at PvP, and, you know, you can still heal in PvP and not be good at it. And you still make a pretty big difference for your team. Just by, like, being there and being the heel, like, fairy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
How about you, Krilla?
I enjoy PvP, honestly. The story behind, the reason, the mechanics, I get into it sometimes. The rewards are pretty cool. It's just nice. It's a nice way for us to be able to embrace a fragment of like 1.0 content without actually having to deal with just like, you know, the general situation regarding 1.0. Cause you know, you get to go to the Cartano Flats, you get to go to Sealed Rock, which was also a major 1.0 plot point in Limsa. You get to go to Lycanweed and during the feast. And so it's like these are all 1.0 areas. And it's just really nice to kind of have a chance to also currently in this time frame immerse yourself in older content while doing newer things. So
see that I did not know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know.
Yeah, a lot of PvP zones are based on 1.0, very, very important 1.0 settings.
Huh. So. I did not know that either. Very.
We all learned something new, guys.
I know.
That's twice now, by the way.
Oh, shoot. I'm sorry. Oh,
this is why we have him.
Trust us.
Professor Kuroa.
Professor Elidibus.
Hey.
I know, yeah, the week has been over. But yes, this is kind of one of the reasons why Kuroa actually became a full-time host on the podcast, because he could just be like, oh yeah, by the way, your information's wrong. This is actually what happened and why.
I mean,
it's done.
Not I don't.
No, he doesn't do it like that.
I swear I'm not trying to initiate debate. I swear.
Thinking that, but he would never say it.
I promise I do all in good taste. I promise.
He just makes sure that we get our facts straight is all. Because, you know, we could say something bad and then he'd be like, yeah, it didn't happen like that. Well, then it happened like this. No, it didn't happen like that either. Okay, then how did it happen? It's like, this is how it happened. It's like, oh, well, that's kind of boring. Not all the time. Like, I mean, the sealed rock stuff, I did not really realize that that was actually a 1.0 area.
Yeah, Seal Rock is the island of Swallowtail Roam, which was rumored to be the containment place for giant sea serpents who flooded the land in the ancient days. Okay. Yeah, Limsa Limensa has a lot of, like, weird, like, not, I wouldn't say weird, a better word would be, like, intricate ties to the sea serpent legend from the original story of creation in Eorzea. You can find the bones of that sea serpent in Outer Lanasi. One of them is in that area, the Thalaios bones. They refer to as one of those sea serpents, and they say Swallowtail Rum was where they were trapped. So it's just, yeah, there's a lot of like deeper stuff to it. It's pretty cool.
So, I mean, other than, I do apologize for that. So, other than what we've gotten through the Grand Companies and current content, how do you guys feel about the squadrons?
I like the squadrons. Some dungeons are just flat out impossible for them. I will say that, unfortunately. Wanderer's Palace hard mode, I can't clear it with them. They do not heal me fast enough before the doom hits. I can't. They just don't heal you.
No one has a healing.
The last boss of Wanderer's Palace hard mode, he casts a doom on you, and you have 15 seconds to heal yourself to full before it triggers. Mm-hmm. And so if you're running as any role that's not healer, the healer member of the squadron can't cap you. Like they just don't have it coded that they need to continue to heal you until you're full. They just keep healing you with base level spells, and that never gets you high enough, and so you just die to doom every time, and it's frustrating. But I tried really hard. So I probably have to clear that as a healer, because there's just no way I can do it as any other role.
It does sound very painful.
Yeah. I mean, you can't scream at AI because the AI doesn't do anything. It doesn't respond. You know, when you type in the party chat, heal me because I'm about to die, something happens. But you can't do that to an AI. It just keeps doing what it's coded to do. So you're just like, your anger has no place to vent, and it's terrible. It's
great. How about you, Dylan?
I mean, it was okay. I don't know. It never really quite did it for me. I mean, it was kind of like, oh, this is kind of fun content, you know, let's do it. And then after a while, I was like, yeah, okay, I'm good.
Okay. Scrolly?
I think as far as the squadrons go, the only thing I ever really did with them was run those dungeons until I got those emotes. After that, I pretty much just like dropped them, unfortunately.
So I only did up to Halitali, which is like probably the second or third dungeon. I think it's the second. Yeah. After I died at the electric. Is that a lizard? Pretty sure it's a lizard. Basilisk.
Or what? Oh, the biased in Halitali?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I pretty much said, to hell with this. I'm going home. Looked at them. You guys can do this yourselves. You don't need the Warrior of Light for this. I'm out. And then he just left.
Yeah. there are mechanics that just don't translate well to AI in the older dungeons. And I think that's what the squadrons, if anything, was just prototype trusts, because they were still trying to figure out how to allow players to use AI in battle. Mm-hmm. And using a new concept on older content just doesn't translate very well, because the older content, I mean, Halitali and all those dungeons are built, you know, they were drawn out of 1.0, right? So like they're really, really old dungeons, and it just makes it just really doesn't translate well for AI, which is a new concept in the older dungeons. It's just the code's probably just like they just don't work well. Mm-hmm. For dungeons that were designed especially for players to interact with other players instead of robots. So, I mean, they tried, but I think if we want to keep using squadrons, they just might as well bring them to the first and then modify them to be more like trusts again, and then we'll be good. Because then, yeah. I mean, trusts are amazing. Like, I haven't had a single problem with trusts yet, so...
Okay. Well, there is a little bit more I would like to discuss, but I only have one little thing left to talk about. So obviously we have these cool gears that we can wear and all this other stuff. And I know you can dress your trusts. Have you guys dressed your your squadron?
I save all of my really good Fantasias for myself.
Okay.
So they can wear whatever.
I pretty much have all my squadron members dressed as me. They all share the same glam as I do, at least like for my main classes, at least. You know, okay. I just wear like a generic shirt and like pants, you know? So.
Nice. How about you, Crow? Cool. Oh.
Yeah, Yeah, I'm kind of nerdy with it, and I've sort of headcanoned that all the members of my squadron are my character's pirate crew. And so they all have various, like, sailor-themed outfits and stuff like that. I'm just waiting for that. I just really, really, really want a squadron run in, like, Siren Song Sea, so I can just get them all on a ship. and just take 1,000 screenshots, and then just, I don't know, like that would just be awesome. But
yeah, that would be nice.
Okay, I actually have to say that if I was going to dress my trust, I'd probably dress them up as minions.
Nice. Who was it? Like, someone did. They got their squadrons dressed up like idol members, like one of those idol characters. And it's just like each one has like an idol theme.
Nice.
Oh, wow. So.
Oof. Well, sorry, Scrolly. It wasn't much of a podcast for you. You okay over there?
Mistakes were made.
Mistakes were made by Puppy. Nice. But yeah, Scrolly, sorry it wasn't much of a podcast for you to kind of jump into. We will have you in another one, I will guarantee that. Mm-hmm. Something that's a little less kind of an off-topic type thing.
Yeah, no, I understand.
But thank you for joining us. We greatly appreciate it on that.
Of course.
So one thing I will leave off here is that next week we are going to dive into spoiler territory. So be prepared. By the time it's actually released, it'll be a month out, but we're still going to put our spoiler warnings. We're going to go into the main content of 5.1 or 5.2. Wow. God, I'm still behind, isn't I? I swear.
The content you're supposed to do is 5.2. Just
I swear I've done 5.2, guys. But anyways, thank you guys for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. Next week, be prepared because it will be a very long episode. But until then, guys, yes, hopefully it will be. You never know. We might invite you to join us next week.
Ooh.
But until... Yes, very ominous. But until next time, guys, we wish you all a wonderful eve.
Bye.
Toodles!
See you later.
AetherStream is part of Aetherflow Media, a community-based project with a focus on Final Fantasy XIV. Aside from this podcast, we produce web content and our magazine, Aetherflow. And if you like what you see and hear, consider joining our Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/aetherflowmedia. All funds go towards providing you with the best possible content that we can create.